Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 289, Outfield Review, part two for the 2025 fantasy baseball season, ADPs 31 through 60, breakouts and more. If you missed part one, it was last Thursday evening, Friday morning released, episode 288. Go check that out. But we'll get you covered here on part two and much, much more. But first off, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, in a week, we'll have finished golf. We'll be drinking on the Mesa, you know, veranda, watching a ball game. You can find him on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
We're pretty good, man. We're pretty good. Yes. It's first pitch is becoming a close reality. So even got my haircut for it today. Is anyone viewing here? The minor kind of the mini COVID hair is now gone.
You're getting close to it. It was starting to have a life of its own.
Little unkempt, but things were too busy for haircuts lately. So got one knocked out yesterday. Dragging a little bit today.
Yeah.
Game three, man, on Monday night was awesome. My about 5.5 hours after game three ended, I was up with my kids and they were asking me about daylight savings time and why we do daylight savings time. And I'm like, I am way too tired for this right now.
Yes, this is.
I can't even explain it fully rested. But
just
not under those conditions.
Just blame the farmers. That's what they always blame.
Yeah, I should have just blamed Bubba.
Yeah, that's they blame the farmers for growing conditions, which in reality, who no. But yeah, that's usually the excuse.
I should have FaceTimed you in. You're probably awake.
I was. Or six. I was. Yeah, I was half awake.
Yeah.
Yes, I was.
There. Did you make it through all 18?
No, I woke up with the TV on though. I was watching it. I think I made it to like top 17, and I just don't remember falling asleep. It was one of those where I was just gone.
I was torn, man. I did make it through. I was laying in bed watching it on my phone and kind of nodding off, but I did make it through. I was wondering, like, internally, I was like, what's my end game here? What inning am I actually shutting this down and just waking up and finding out what happens? Was gonna stick through the 18th, but then the drama was like, is there gonna be Miguel Rojas pitching? Is there gonna be whatever else? Because there was nobody left to throw. I guess Yamamoto was maybe lining up, but I don't know, man. That was just anyone who watches the show probably watched Game Three. That was just an epic game.
It was just, it seemed inevitable every time the Jays didn't come through. I'm like, okay, the Dodgers are winning at this inning because you said this person are coming to bat. Like they were just elite. And then the Jays are just throwing out their like quad A lineup because they had benched everybody. And unless like Vladdy was going to run into one, it was probably not happening. So it was very, very lopsided. But they fought for, like Eric Lauer, dude. He showed why he was a beast during the season for fantasy. He held them in there for a lot longer than people thought. And then Will Klein is now, you know, the new Nady Evaldi, apparently. I wouldn't go to the bank. Yes. I wouldn't go to the bank on that.
Go that far. But,
yeah, but that's what people are claiming all over the place. Yeah. Like even I think even Passan wrote about that in an article. So let's not get too excited on that. But I guess if you count what he did, it mimics it for sure.
Yeah. Will Klein is not showing up on Bloom boards near you like Nate Evaldi was, but it was actually interesting. Like a lot of the extra innings were a little slow. I always compared it to the Tigers Mariners, obviously the game five at ALDS, and that was like almost every inning there were two runners on for each team, and they just could not, the Tigers or Mariners could not get the run in. There was a good stretch last night where, and to your point, like the Blue Jays lineup was just dead. There were a few innings where it was just, it was
like the Dodgers threatened almost every inning. It felt like they had like one or two guys on.
They had like warning track.
Yeah.
I mean, multiple warning track shots.
Yeah. I just thought Will Smith was going to go out and never hear the end of it. That was good.
I was ready to text. That was the other fun thing about this was the Discord was, it was a ton of fun just being in there with
powering you. Through.
Yeah.
Powering
there were through. Probably 5-10 of us in there just following along and chatting it up pretty much throughout the entire time. That was a ton of fun to follow along with a bunch of listeners and Discord folks too.
Yep, that was great. A couple other things. It was cool. When I got up this morning, I first decided to look at who won. And I figured it'd be the Dodgers. Okay, then of course,
good way to start the day, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm used to it. Just expect it. I think with you or with Ben, I was like, people that are like, "Oh, the Dodgers made it." Like, the Dodgers should make it every year. Like, they should be really angry if they don't make it to the World Series every year. Their team is that good. Like, it's just the reality. So I expect them to win, unfortunately. But it was cool to read some stuff like Sandy Koufax, 90-year-old Sandy Koufax, doesn't look a day over like 72. He waited an hour after the game so he can go personally like congratulate Klein on what he did. So it was already well into the morning, and a 90-year-old Sandy Koufax just hanging out, waiting for Klein to shower and get done so he could talk to him. Like, that was pretty impressive to me. Like, imagine being Klein, who this is where like the other half of it. And I think it's a guy you probably follow also. It's for Monday Qualifiers, the golf guy. Awesome follow if you like golf, at least I think so. So he did a Monday cue for Klein, basically. And I should have probably had this queued up. Give me 1 second to find it because it is freaking priceless. But it basically sums up like this Klein guy is probably thinking, okay, I'm never going to make it in my career. And I've got Sandy Koufax waiting for him. So here you have it. He typed out this whole thing because if those that don't follow him, the Monday Q guy basically follows guys from like the PGA Tour Americas and like all this stuff and does pretty cool things. So he says, for the Aces of Baseball One fans, because he's the Aces of Golf One, Will Klein didn't make an All-Star his senior year in high school, had a 6.88 ERA his freshman year at Eastern Illinois. He was drafted in the fifth round, has played for the following teams the last two seasons. Omaha Storm Chasers, Northwestern Arkansas Naturals, Las Vegas Aviators, the Royals, the A's, the Tacoma Rainiers, your team.
There you go.
The Oklahoma City Comets, and then the Dodgers. He's been traded, released, and demoted all within the last 2 years.
Man, baseball.
Like, it's just a cool thing to see.
Is Will Klein your favorite Dodger now?
No, because he won him a game.
Just checking.
Nah, my favorite Dodger, it's like, it's tough. Like, I like Freeman. I love Kershaw. I'll respect the hell out of Kershaw. I thought that was hilarious. He basically should have walked in the run. Lucas helped him out a ton.
Yep.
And then they yanked him right away. I'm like, come on, throw him back out there. Come on. Throw Kershaw his 88-mile-an-hour fastball back out there, please. Give the Jays a chance.
Heater was not humming for Kershaw.
No, but... Yeah, great game. Game four, really great game as well.
I didn't catch much of game four, but had kid duty tonight. But yeah, 3-game series the rest of the way. Let's see what happens.
Five, and then we head back to Toronto for 6 and 7. So Joe Rico can go recycle some cans and hopefully get to the game.
I wanted a sweep either way for this damn World Series, just so we can get some damn ADP. So the NFBC will flip over the site, and then we can move on with 2026. But that wish was not granted, and won't be for I guess they're guaranteed another game in Toronto.
What's awesome is that game in Toronto is on Halloween, Game 6 Halloween night.
Ooh, that's tough.
So Game 7's on Saturday. So hopefully by Monday we have ADP. Let's put it that way.
Someone should dress up as a TV with the game on. I'll follow that person trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I might have to find my buddy with a Starlink. We can throw it in the back of the pool cart. Watch some baseball.
Be a lot better than my costume.
Yeah. What's your costume this year?
I'm going to be a freaking banana.
That's right. I'm going to be a banana. Right. You showed us pictures of that. That is correct.
Yep.
That is right.
Yep. Got the suit. My kids want me to, they told me they want me to be a banana so that they can laugh at me.
Those are exact words.
Yeah.
I love your kids. So. They must watch the show.
Yeah. Actually wouldn't be surprised.
I thought you were going to say one of them's going to be a chicken and they're going to sing the chicken banana.
No, they just want me to look like an idiot and so they can laugh at me. So okay, I comply.
I get to be Olaf for the second time now. I did it a couple years ago. Now she wants to be Elsa again. She never stopped loving Frozen, but she wants to be back with Elsa. So Olaf's coming back out of the closet.
We'll have to get some pics for the live show at First Pitch.
Yes.
Kind of an annual tradition at this point.
Yep. You'll get a pic thrown your direction. Well, we'll make that happen. But all right. All right, let's get to it. We've spent 10 minutes talking about everything else. Let's talk outfield part two. up here again, ADP 31 through 60. Remember, the first 30 picks were basically in the top 110 of ADP, which says a lot about the outfield position. Also, when you're looking at the board tonight, I'll let Ryan obviously go through more of it, but you see a lot of red, but also remember that goes with a lot of the green that was in the first episode. So it correlates with the outfield position. So naturally, it's going to decrease. But the only takeaway I'm going to mention before you have it, 31 through 60 is ADP 115 through 240. So in a 15-team draft, you're still basically like halfway through the draft, 60 outfielders off the board. So it really emphasizes things we talked about last year of getting maybe two in the top 30 if you can, maybe three if you're getting frisky. But we kept talking about during the pocket shows, like you need to attack, and don't wait too long to get that fifth one type thing. What do you see when you look at this board?
Yeah, certainly plenty of, plenty of red, of course, for anyone viewing on YouTube, but that's to be expected when you're taking, you know, outfield 31 through 60, you know, you're going to, and if you get a bunch of red, if you get some bad performances, then just kind of cut bait, move on and go from there. But it wasn't that bad, I don't think, of returns. So four players finished in the top 20 that were drafted to outfield 31 through 60. That's Riley Green, PCA, Brandon Nimmo and Byron Buxton. And then you had 12 out of 30 outproduce their draft spot, at least at outfield. So that's not bad. You almost had a 50-50 chance of someone outproducing their draft spot. And that's what we're showing. I guess I should do the lay of the land again, even though this is like our fifth or sixth positional preview. But we're looking at the preseason ADP for outfield 31 through 60. Where they ranked in terms of where they were drafted and where they finished at outfield with per the FanGraphs player rater with average homers and steals color coded. So it's everything kind of hit or miss in terms of a lot of these guys have warts. Anybody you're drafting outside the top 200, you know, goes outside the top 200 for certain reasons, but certainly some spots as we go through a bunch of these names, certainly some spots where you could have hit pretty big.
Yeah. Steals really dry up. That's a big takeaway from me as you get good deeper point. Into this, which you see a lot in drafting in general, but steals and even power, man, a lot like on the second half of the sheet, the board, it's a lot of, you know, 14 or less in the home run department, but over the whole board, there's only a handful of 20 or more, less than 10 of 20 or more stolen bases. And you like to get 20 guys from like, say, shortstop and some outfield positions more often than not. And you're not getting them at this position if you wait too much longer. So again, it kind of emphasizes you almost want three in the top 150 ADP, at least. Maybe there's different ways to do it, obviously, but if you want a five category guy, it disappears quickly.
Always easier said than done, but yes, that can be the goal. Even though, you know, you've often said the math doesn't math when you try and also pair that with early catcher, early first
draft 12 team leagues. It all maths up then.
Yeah, I won't go that far. But that's the challenge of a 15 teamer. But to kind of put some numbers on the power, it is interesting. There were only seven out of these 30 players hit over 20 home runs, so didn't get a whole lot of pop. But you did have four over 30. You had Riley Green, PCA again, Taylor Ward, and Buxton. So had over 30. So, and batting average, you can pick and choose and get some spots. It didn't fall off quite as much as your homers and steals. Again, we're looking backwards. Who knows if that's going to be the case? And this ADP pocket's going to look totally different for 2026. But there were some decent batting average sources later in outfield in 2025.
And if you want to look like glass half full on this, you might not get a bunch of 20 homer, 20 steal guys, but you have a lot of double digits in both. So if you want like 10 tens, 15 15s, 10 20s, whatever, there's a lot. So at least you're not just taking complete duds. Like there's still some of those. Like you had Tyler O'Neill, Jonathan India, like guys we've talked about before that really kind of shafted you across the board. But there's at least enough of like the Cowsers got you 16, 14, hit for a bad average. Adelise average stuck, but 1913. So like we'll talk about all these guys, but you're at least getting some production across the board and the power and the speed. No average, obviously not great on most of those type of guys, but as a whole, you're not taking complete zeros if you mix and match here too.
Yep.
All right. With that being said, let's get to it. Let's start talking about him. Riley Green is the 31st outfielder off the board, ADP of 115, finished 12th at the position. Really, really good season. And we've talked about him throughout the season on different Bloom boards, and it felt like it was kind of a quiet, at least to me, because I didn't have a lot of Riley Green shares. Hit 258, 36 home runs and 2 stolen bases. Like, we always liked the Riley Green power, Ryan, but he really brought it to the table, played 157 games, drove in 111 RBIs. Monster season for Riley Green, and not to mention it was his age 24 season as well.
Yeah, and I think that was the big driver with Riley Green. Obviously, 36 homers helps, but getting 655 plate appearances, 111 RBI, like you said, there's 84 runs. That's going to do a number in terms of your fantasy value. This seems intentional to me for Riley Green. This was a spike in strikeout rate, a spike in fly ball rate. So this is someone who is, I think, at least looking at the plate approach here, kind of selling out for that power. And it worked. I mean, when you hit 36 home runs, when you have 69 barrels, like that can work. Now, it came with a 31% K rate. Is he going to hit 258 again? Kind of doubt that. But fly ball rate for Riley Green has ticked up every season he's been in the majors. 2 years ago, it was at 25%, which is really, really low. Fly ball rate then went up to 35, and then last year, 39%. So I think this is more of kind of a launch angle thing for Riley Green, trying to get to that power. And we talk about good power in bad stadiums. Sometimes it just does not affect some of these premier power bats. And with a 17% barrel rate, Riley Green, I think, enters that conversation as a potentially premier power bat. So certainly believe more in the power than I do the batting average. But either way, you took someone outside the top 30, finished 12th of the position. That is an absolute win. And that win was on absolutely zero of my teams like yours.
Yep. No Riley in my world, which was very unfortunate. Another guy I had no shares of, and at first it really stunk. End the line wasn't bad. If you had him in head-to-head, crushed you. Pete Crow Armstrong, ADP of 116, 32nd off the board, finished 8th at the position. Still very strong. So I said, good stat line. 247, 31 homers, 35 steals. But Ryan, it's been well documented. This was a tale of two seasons for Pete Crow Armstrong, as that second half fall was almost Grand Canyon-esque in certain regards. So what are your thoughts on PCA, who seemed like a completely lost soul in the second half of the season?
It's interesting. I just edited PCA's baseball forecaster box, and we have – so HQ, we split first and second half, I think, a little bit differently than Fangraphs. We do the straight 3 months of the season. Yeah, we do it by game. And I think Fangraphs, I don't know if Fangraphs is the all-star break or not, but
I'm pretty sure they do, because it's like, I got it right here. It's 95 games versus 61 games.
So yeah, it's got to be all-star break then. So our splits are a little bit different than what you would see like on Fangraphs, but it was really interesting. All of our forecaster boxes, we have first and second half split out. And I did not realize this, but PCA skills, honestly, man, hardly changed between first and second half. I don't know if that some of that is kind of the divide between where the first and second half gets split, but PCA was much better in the second half than we thought the numbers were. So that gives me hope for 26. But again, looking back, like, this dude did absolutely kill you late. I mean, we were fielding questions, do I drop PCA for my playoff matchups? It's like, you can kind of see it. But
well, I just want to say something, because with the HQ splits, like the legit halves, it makes sense, because you basically have it March, April, May, and June in the first half, July, yep, August, September. Yep. July, he hit 308, his best month of the year, with 6 home runs and 4 steals. But then he hit 160 in August and 224 in September, yep, and had a combined 4 home runs. And that's how this splits up. So I agree, the first half, second half, you actually have first half, second half. That makes sense to me, how HQ does it. But doing that split, it gets that amazing July, yep, comboed in there, and it kind of overshadows just how bad August and September were.
The thing, yeah, agreed. I would say September wasn't really even that bad. Like 224, 3 homers, 4 steals, it's not like killing you. Really, it was one horrendous month for PCA. It was August. September didn't kill. It wasn't good. Certainly wasn't the first 4 months of the season, but August was complete death.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. Yeah, we're kind of splitting hairs, but
yeah, I'm just whatever. Curious because he just looks really lost in those last few months when they're fighting for postseason lives, and it didn't seem to pan out. And even in the postseason, PCA hit 185 with no home runs, no runs scored, 3 RBIs, and a steal over 29 plate appearances. Struck out 41% of the time in the postseason. So that didn't go well either.
Did not. But if you pick PCA, you got the 8th best outfielder at a 116 ADP. Again, zero of my teams. You did much better than me in that regard. Not you, but people who took PCA did much better than us in that regard.
Yep. ADP of 116 as well as PCA was Josh Lowe, who finished 91st at the position. So flipping a coin between PCA and Lowe got you the 8th outfielder or the 91st outfielder. Mm-hmm. That's how this game works sometimes. Josh Lowe hit 220 with 11 home runs and 18 steals. Another injury-riddled season for Lowe, who only played in 108 games. So it's one of those like, okay, if I project him out for a full season, which we haven't seen over 135 games, Ryan, it's like, yeah, we got another 15 to 20 home runs and a guy that's gets you 25-plus steals. It's just, it's always the injuries and it's always the platoon with Josh Lowe.
Well, and I think another kind of hidden thing here, I mean, the oblique, that was on opening day. And so, like, if you're in a like a no IL league, you may have cut Josh Lowe very quickly into the season.
He was on waivers in 12s for sure.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he didn't come back until mid-May. Like, that's a very tough hold. So that's even, I mean, that's even a bigger kick to the. Won't finish that sentence, but that hurt. That hurt. Lows. Exactly. In terms of like what we saw from Josh Lowe in the second half, certainly did not take advantage as a lefty of that park with just the 11 homers. I wrote up Josh Lowe's forecaster box, was not impressed with the power skills at all. I think the batting average, he's going to be better than 220. And I think the stolen bases are going to be there. But this conversation with Josh Lowe always starts and ends with injuries. And for me, it's two seasons in a row missing pretty much 5-6 weeks in each of the last two seasons with oblique injuries. Like that stuff scares me.
It's got a bit of the Byron Buxton vibe going on here. It's like,
yeah, we'll talk about that guy.
Yeah. Like the one that worked out finally. That's, I think that's why people still like want to buy into Josh Lowe, because there's no denying this talent if he's ever healthy. But, and we've said that about Buxton, we say about Jazz Chisholm. Like, yeah, then they've proven healthy. They're freaking awesome. But will that happen?
It is a really good point that you made, though, that PCA and Josh Lowe had the exact same ADP. Because entering, like, now it looks obvious, of course, in hindsight.
I would have taken Lowe.
I might have taken
time.
Josh Lowe. Exactly.
I would take Lowe every single time.
Similar profiles, but Lowe is, you're just basically saying if he can stay healthy, he's going to be pretty damn good. And PCA, you had no idea what the ceiling was. So it's fascinating to look back on those things.
Yep. The 34th outfielder off the board with an ADP of 134 is one of my favorite draft players to draft every single season. And Ryan had a ton of shares this year. The 16th outfielder, according to the Fangraphs player rater, that's Randy Arozarena, 238, 27 bombs, 31 steals. That makes 5 straight 2020 seasons for Arozarena. Even when he doesn't swing for a good average, the dude still balls out. That's why I don't mind taking the risk and hoping he can finally figure out 250 again. It's been a couple of years, but regardless, I'm getting 2020 and we freaking roll.
Yeah, this was my, so again, I'll admit the good with the bad, the no shares of Riley Green or PCA. This was my most rostered player in 2025 was Randy Arozarena. I thought the positive regression signs were pretty much everywhere, but it is interesting. I did not expect Randy to go pretty much 30-30. That was icing on the cake. And actually, I did think the batting average would rebound even more than 238, but it didn't. The reason being there, Arozarena still struck out a ton. So still actually struck out more in 2025 than he did in 2024. So it'll be interesting to see if I'm in again next year. I kind of doubt it. But this was someone prime age. This was like they checked every single box on a rebound coming off a down year.
Wait, you don't know if you'll be out on a guy that's turning 31 years old? Like, for reals?
We'll see, man. It's all about the ADP. This World Series needs to end, man. And I love the dude. Randy has been awesome to watch. And it's nice to have him hit at least power speed in Seattle, because I know the Seattle narrative is out there and been very much valid. But that was one of the big cases against Randy Rosarena.
For sure. All right, the 35th outfielder off the board with an AP of 137, Jason Dominguez, the Martian. Finished 62nd at the position, and honestly, I don't think that's all his fault. He hit 257, 10 homers, 23 steals, but it comes down to Aaron Boone being a doofus. He played 123 games, was a lot of platooning, a lot of in and outs, and he had one plate appearance in the postseason. The Yankees have already said they want him to be the everyday outfielder. We'll believe it when you see it. But between Grisham going nuts, when Stanton returned, and then Judge got hurt, there was really never a chance for Dominguez to get his footing and really flourish, because he had some stretches where he looked really, really good. Just, we talked about, he was so hard to roster because he didn't know if he's going to play 2 games, 3 games, yep, 1 game, 4 games. Like, he never knew each week what he was going to do. And as a young player, that probably can't help your productivity either.
Exactly. Can't help Jason Dominguez settle in and actually get a regular routine in his first full MLB season. So a maddening dude to roster this year for the intermittent playing time, like you said, Bubba. Like, there weren't many weeks where Jason Dominguez was starting more than like 5 games, and that's just such a hard, and weekly moves, such a hard call to make. Frustrating even more that like the signs were here for Dominguez for a nice breakout. The one team context thing that Dominguez did have in his corner, the Yankees let him run. 28 stolen base attempts, went 23 for 28. So that was good. We'd like to see a little bit more power. But again, I don't want to nitpick these stats too much, because you've got a 22-year-old in Yankee Stadium playing half the time. It's like, kind of, what do you want this guy to do? You know?
Yeah. So. I'm interested going into 2026. I believe in the skills of Jason Dominguez, and just requires playing time. So it just, again, we need ADP. All right. The 36th outfielder off the board, 2 picks after Jason Dominguez. So if you didn't take the upside, you took the what you're used to. You got the 33rd overall outfielder, which is pretty much what you were drafting here. Ian Happ, he hit 243, 23 homers, 6 steals. So the steals dropped after back-to-back double-digit steals. But we were talking about it for a while. Is he a power guy? Is he an average guy? I think we got it figured out, Ryan. It's three straight seasons around 243 to 248. 21 to 25 homers. The runs are almost identical. RBIs are pretty darn close. I think even the walks and strikeouts, like if you look at the last 3 years, it's Ian Happ. That's who we finally figured out who he is. And honestly, it's nothing too flashy, but man, that consistency goes a long ways when you're drafting a team.
It's fine, man, especially in drafting holds or in deeper leagues. Give me someone 36th who finishes 33rd. And plays every day. Give me that all season long. I know that's my olds coming out in me, but that's the good stuff right there. So you covered Happ well. I mean, just the other thing I'd add, it was frustrating for a little while. Ian Happ had 3 homers through May, so not great, but then just went nuts with the power in June, hit 9 in June, 5 more in September, hit 287 in September. So Ian Happ, you don't worry about the in-season roller coasters, highs, lows, whatever. At the end of the year, you're basically going to get the production that you paid for. The one caveat the Ian Happ this year was stolen bases. You got to kind of have to mention that, with only the 6 steals compared to 13 and 14 the previous 2 seasons. So you wanted a few more bags out of Ian Happ, but in general, you were pretty happy with this one if you were patient.
Yes, indeed. Adelis Garcia, ADP of 151, 37th off the board. We have a lot of guys kind of in this ADP range we're going to discuss right here. He finished 61st at the position, hitting 227, 19 homers, 13 steals. Only played 135 games due to injuries. He was pretty much on pace to do kind of what he did last season with more steals. Still not hitting for average. He's basically a poor man's Rosarena, but he has to play the 150-plus games. Yeah. So to me, it's like, do you want the poor average? Well, again, Rosarena is not the best average guy either. So very similar players, but Randy continues to do it where Adelis is slowly fading away.
Yeah, and you wonder, like, the 2 injuries for Adelis were both in the second half. It was an ankle and a quad. You wonder how much that affected him kind of going throughout the season. I worry about the speed falling off kind of quickly at 32 with these lower leg injuries. I think the power is probably still the biggest part of Adelis's game. But if if the stolen bases don't, they need to stay at 13 or higher, because it's the rest of this package is pretty rough. He's in danger of being a power only guy.
Yep, and he's also in danger of potentially not having a full time job pretty soon. So, because he was not locked in all the time towards the end in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. The last two seasons for at least OBP, which is right on base, like your real life value, 284 and 271. Last two seasons for Adelis, that is really bad, man.
Yeah, Bruce Bochy will notice those things even in his size eight hat. So,
yeah.
All right, Stephen Kwan was ADP of 152, one pick after Adelis, finished 32nd at the position, so 38th off the board, 32nd, you'll take it, 272, 11 homers, 21 steals, played 156 games, which is good to see after the injured 2024 season, but power dropped a little bit from 2024. Speed was back up to his 2023 standards. Average dropped as well from 2024, though. So that kind of elite hitting presence we saw last year kind of reverted back to that 2023 form with a little more pop. It's just really hard to get a gauge on Kwan and his fantasy upside. It almost was like he has to get closer to 300 to make this work.
Yes, agreed. And he still might. Like, the K rate's still elite. There's actually career best strikeout rate for Stephen Kwan this season.
And he had his worst BABIP this year, too.
Worst BABIP. So, exactly. You look at that, and it's like, I probably should have probably deserved more of the 292 that Kwan hit in 2024. Staying healthy was huge. I think with Kwan, it was lower leg stuff in last season, which drove that stolen base dip, along with just the lack of playing time for Kwan. So yeah, this to me looks like a 20 homer, 290 ish type dude. It's just what's the power.
I don't think he ever hits 20 homers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I doubt it. A career high is 14. It's actually kind of nice. It was, I mean, 6 homers in his first season, then 5, then 14, and then last in 2025 settled at 11. I think you'd take that if you drafted Kwan.
Yeah, if he gets to 20-plus deals and he gets closer to a 300 average, you can live with that, because the 300 average will result in closer to 100 runs. Yep. Probably gets him closer to 30 steals if he's getting on base that much. So, yeah, much more palatable in that regard. ADP of 153, one pick after Stephen Kwan, was Tommy Edman, as he tanked your team. 39th outfielder off the board, 105th on the player rater, 225, 13, and 3 steals. Played in 97 games. The helium was real with Edmund going in towards the end of draft season, and then injuries became a reality with Tommy Edmund, and it never really got back.
Never really got back. Made some damn nice plays in the field in game three, though.
Yeah. God. Jays might actually be 3-1 right now. Let's put it that way. If it wasn't for him.
Yep. The Tommy Tanks nickname has gone from hitting tanks to, like you said, tanking your team. I think this is pretty much a lost season for him, and I don't think he was ever right. Eielston on his right ankle at the end of April, another Eielston on the same ankle in August, pretty severe drop in production in between. So someone who I'm probably going to still be pretty interested in next year has second base and outfield eligibility in 2026, so I'm going to like that. Just think it was one of those like bad year to fall on Tommy Edman, because he was not the same after the first ankle injury, which then they finally Dodgers just like pulled the plug on it in September.
Yeah, they kept trying and trying. It's like, what are we doing here? But
because like playing time wasn't really there either. Like it was tough.
All right, ADP of 163, so a couple picks after Tommy Tanks, Colton Cowser, 40th outfielder off the board, finished 114th at 196, 16 homers, 14 steals. Now, he was injured a lot as well, played 92 games. I'm very intrigued with Colton Cowser. In my first two drafts now, I've been the trigger fingers. I think I might actually got him in the meatball, now that I think about it. Did not get him in the 50 I'm in right now, but the power speed, really good. Strikeouts, not great. I fully admit that. BABIP just dropped tremendously this past season. But that power speed combo, the quality of contact checks out with it. Young ball player, playing hurt a lot, so I don't know if that affected his swing and miss or what it was, but I'm very interested in Cowser, because the other thing is, with a crowded outfield in Baltimore, when he was healthy, they played him, unlike some other guys. So I'm very, very interested in the guy that, legit could be a 2020 or a 30-20 bat if he plays a full season.
And I certainly don't hold the first injury against Colton Cowser, fractured thumb, missed 2 months with that. Like, what are you going to do there? A little bit more concerned about he had a concussion and missed some time in August. I guess the minimum. Oh no, 10 days in August. But you look at the and Bubba, you mentioned the strikeouts, but like look at the kind of the August and September production or lack thereof.
Brutal
for Mr. Cowser, it was brutal. So you just kind of hope, obviously, for Cowser himself, get that offseason rest, get the head right, first and foremost. But an over 40% strikeout rate and after he returned from the concussion is not rosterable. So you do need some improvement there. Hopefully, again, with that offseason, that improves at least just a little bit and let the power speed flourish. But yeah, rough year for Cowser, but I don't know. Still had 16 homers, 14 bags, like you said,
exactly.
In a partial season. Like that's pretty good. And I think the Orioles will be much better next season as a team.
They should be. They feel like the AL version of the Braves right now. Like you guys can't be this bad.
Yeah, agreed.
So where you at? I'm going to group these next two together. So talk about them as much as you want. But Victor Robles, ADP 165, Lane Thomas 167. Robles finished 186, Thomas 215. Both of them lost their basically entire most of their seasons due to injuries, so it's very tough to get away with it. Victor Robles, I'm still more optimistic on than Lane Thomas. I've been out on him going into the season, but I just want to group them together because the reason they finished so poorly was they just didn't play.
Yeah, it's not great when the highlight of your season is when you throw a legitimate bat at a minor league pitcher. That was Victor Robles this year. So I don't have anything really to add. These were total bust picks that you try to avoid, even at ADP 165. These killed you.
Now, here's a good one. A guy that I did have a lot of shares of, Taylor Ward, ADP 178, 43rd outfielder out the board, finished 23rd at the position. He hit 228, but Taylor Ward dropped 36 home runs, stole 4 bags, drove in 103. So loving all of that in his age 31 season, so that makes sense for Ryan's cases. This was baffling just for the fact that it was a massive jump in power. Like I knew he had power. It was a gigantic jump in power. So where are you at on Taylor Ward? Because this was a biggie here for a guy that's gonna should still be in Anaheim next year unless he gets traded.
Yeah, biggie, and didn't look like it was going to be that way, at least on the batting average front. Even OBP, I remember on the RotoWire show with Erickson and Jenstad, they did the jinx on Taylor Ward. They brought up he had the lowest OBP. This was a month or so into the season. Lowest OBP of any hitter in baseball, and it was like, yeah, that's true for sure, and turned it around a bit. But never, I don't know, not going to be like a big batting average guy, of course, 26% K rate, but that power was awesome. And I don't know, man, how do you get 100 RBIs on the Angels? That's probably the most impressive thing on this
page. One of the only guys driving people in, basically. Like I was there when he hit, I think, a 3-run homer. So he finds a way to get it off base. This is how it goes. It's nice. It's very nice.
It is.
All right. We got ADP 183, 53rd outfielder. By Fangraphs Player Rater, 44th off the board, Dick Castellanos.
Ooh.
Finished 250, 17 homers, 4 steals, 147 games played, ticked off most of his team. They're already trying to trade him or release him, or the initial reports. Yeah, this is one of those we talked about as a Gene Segura guy at one point. Just drop him, basically. I don't know what goes on with him. I know he fell a ton in the 50 I'm in right now.
Yeah, total Segura here in the second half, at least for Castellanos. And I think with this is that Javi Baez plate approach that just does not age well. This is actually an old I'm not interested in. You may be shocked by that,
Bubba. I'm proud of you.
You have that much of a free swinging approach, and it's tough. I mean, Castellanos wasn't even a starter for the Phillies by the end of the season. So
yeah, they preferred to start Kepler and Marsh over him at the same time. So yes.
Yeah. And yeah, old Dombrowski doesn't really want Castellanos around next year. So.
No. The body's still warm. And he's already like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, good Lord, let the man have his moment.
Yeah. One thing I will add, if you just look at strikeout rate and barrel rate, which again are pretty good indicators of can you hit the ball and can you hit the ball hard? they were pretty much the exact same as 2024. Now, I would argue 2024 is over his skis in terms of just got a little bit lucky, and 2025 is a little more representative of that. But that is the case to be made if you are trying to make one on a Castellanos rebound.
Yeah, I looked at that when I was debating as he's free falling in the draft, going, maybe I should take a shot here, depth outfield. I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to deal with this. I probably should have, but we moved on.
Yeah.
Kerry Bonds, Kerry Carpenter was the 45th outfielder off the board, ADP of 197, finished 55th at the position, hit 252, 26 homers, one stolen base, drove it. I think the biggest thing for him was like the average is actually better than I thought it would be. Power was awesome. But in 130 games, he only had 62 RBIs. Like, for a guy hit 26 bombs, you probably expected a lot more from Kerry Bonds, and also strict platoon. Like, even mid-game, strict platoon. That made it very hard to roster Kerry Carpenter.
It did. I do think Kerry Bonds doubled his season-long home run total, like, against the Mariners only in the ALDS. It seemed like every time he was up was a home run.
That was just against George Kirby. Owned him. Yeah,
thanks. Career for
you advanced. What are you crying about? You're fine.
Yeah, actually, like, I mean, he's a Virginia Tech guy, Kerry Carpenter.
So. There it is. Took a second.
Gotta like this dude. But I don't think the lefty problem is going away anytime soon either. For Kerry Carpenter's career, it's a 207 batting average, a 270 OBP, and no power, a 335 slug against lefties. For Kerry Carpenter's career, did homer off a Mariners lefty. I think, who the hell was it? I don't know. Blocked it out of my mind. No, it was not. Bizarro. Spire.
There you go. Not Little or Spire. Not Little's on the Jays.
Gabe Spire. Gabe Spire. That was brutal. I think that's going to be the problem. Continue to be the problem with Kerry Carpenter. It's like 460 plate appearances. Is all he had this year. Did miss almost a month with a hamstring, so maybe your plate appearance number is capped at 520, 550. And that's a hard cap, and that's tough for someone you're taking as your outfield three or four. So
yep, inside the top picks. It's when we talk platoon players as the draft goes on, you don't want to probably do it that soon type situation. All right, outfielder 46, he dropped because he was missing the start of the season due to a PED suspension. And honestly, Profar had a pretty good 80 games once he returned. Finished 84th at the position, but Profar at 244, 14 homers, 9 steals. Obviously, if you do the lazy man's approach and prorate that, we're talking, let's just say, 25 homers and 15 steals, probably much better than that. But over 100 runs, 80 RBIs, like a really good season for Jurickson Profar once again. He came out gangbusters when he returned from the suspension, Ryan, and he's with the Braves for two more seasons. And again, like we say every year, they should be better next year. So if people just look at the stat line, they might not think Profar had a good season, but all in all, he's looking pretty good to me come draft day.
Yep, had a great year. Obviously after the PED suspension, this was a brutal pick if you took Profar at 200 ADP, because I think it was right after opening day. When the suspension was announced,
he played like one game or something. It's like, see ya. It was like it was the Chauncey Billups.
it was the Chauncey Billups. We could debate the merits of which suspension type is worse, but that's
it's actually a fair debate. No, I was kidding.
That may be a Patreon only exclusive.
Yeah. One of them had a group of Italians telling you what to do. The other one decided, Sorry, I'll stop.
Yeah, probably a good time to stop. So this was all when you picked up. I mean, this was obviously fab for Jurickson Profar. You couldn't IL him because he was hurt, because he was PEDs. So all depended when you picked him up. You could have grabbed Jurickson Profar. I remember talking about in our fab shows for like a buck or two, 3 weeks before he came back, if you want to stash him. Obviously got more expensive as he got closer to return. And then after he returned, he was widely rostered, but in pretty much a half season to go 14 homers, 9 steals, 245 batting average. That is pretty damn impressive and sneakily one of the best fab ads of 2025.
Yep. Very, very good fab ad. And as long as we kept saying, like, he's going to be back in 2 weeks. He's going to like, Get after him if you can. And if
you knew when he was coming back, like that's a stash where you're like, all right, I know he's returning.
It's
on this
not
day.
An injury. Like he's playing for 3 weeks in the minors, getting loose. So,
which
I don't
debate the merits of that as well.
But. Yeah, I agree. He has to miss 80 games in the bigs, but we're gonna let him get loose in the minors. Like,
right. Wait, I feel like you should pay for that ramp up time as well.
But you should be at your team's like rookie ball facility playing those guys. Maybe that's about as far as it should go.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of that. Sedan Rafaela, ADP of 201, the 47th off the board. So same pick as Jerickson Profar, but Rafaela finished 34th in the position because he played an entire season pretty much. He hit 249, 16 homers, 20 steals, 84 runs was a plus from Rafaela. 24 years old. Like there's so much talent in this ball player. It's just they keep yo-yoing him around everywhere. What we saw last year was a lot more straight, like let's just play center field and all in all, had a pretty good season, but it did kind of have its ups and downs. It wasn't consistent. I remember that much.
Yeah, it wasn't consistent, but at the end of the day, if you get 16 homers, 20 steals, decent batting average from a 25-year-old, that works. We talked a little bit about Rafael on their second base show, so listen back on that one if you're catching up. But I don't know. I still worry about the ceiling with Rafaela, especially the power ceiling. I don't know if it's all there, but in terms of just hard contact, it looks kind of league average to me, but we'll see. Don't want to ding a 25-year-old too much, especially when he was getting moved around, especially last year. Like you said, it was nice for Boston to pretty much settle him in at center, where last year he was playing second, third, shortstop, center. It was, that's tough on a 24-year-old.
And never forget, he hit the walk-off. I put a good friend of ours on national NESN television.
Yeah.
So it was
definite highlight of the year. DuPont calling the shot and going viral.
Yeah. And the next day, giving his shirt away to the broadcast guy's Veritech shirt, which we witnessed live. That is like he rolls that shirt out.
We saw that
shirt,
that exact piece of fabric, piece of cloth in Las Vegas. That was awesome.
Yes. He's a great human being, that man. All right, I'm going to skip Jorge Soler unless you have anything. Finished 140th of the position, 215, 12 homers, no steals, missed a ton of time hurt.
No, we can move on.
All right, ADP 204, same as Soler, though, if he decided the right way. You got Brandon Nimmo. He was the 49th outfielder off the board, finished 20th at the position. Nimmo, another pretty strong season, hit 262, 25 homers, 13 steals. Replicated last season, except the average was much better. Runs, RBIs, everything pretty darn similar. Played in over 150 games, Ryan, for the fourth straight season, even though he plays hurt a lot of the time, which is crazy. Yep. So another one of those kind of Ian Happ types, like, dude's pretty darn consistent right now, and you just kind of need to hope that the injuries don't derail it completely.
Yeah, I like the Ian Happ comp. 32 years old, too, so you get that as well. This was a compiling season for Brandon Nimmo, and that's what he does. That's not a shot at Nimmo. This is pretty much similar to what we've seen from Nimmo the past few years. It was nice to see. You never know what the year after a major stolen base spike is going to look like. Nimmo had never stolen more than 5 bases in a season since 2018, spiked 15 in 2024, and backed that up with 13 more again this year. So that was nice to see a kind of random 30-year-old deciding to steal, which I don't know. I want to look into that more this offseason. It's just like stolen base spikes and trying to project steals. It's just freaking hard, man.
The Mets had a spike as a team due to a certain coach that will no longer be there. So remember that as well.
Good point. It's a very good point. Yeah.
Yes. They've all flat out said he helped them a ton. So keep that in mind when we're I can't wait to see where he lands. I mentioned that in the Discord when that news came out. So Elliot Ramos, ADP of 210, 50th off the board, finished 36th of the position, 256, 21-6. This is one reason I like doing this. People think it was a bad year from Ramos. Wasn't what the expectations were. Finished 36th of the position. He was the 50th outfielder. Like, all in all, he wasn't great. He's a good deep league play. In a 12, it really did stink, like especially as the season went on. I gave a relatively deep dive on Ramos on Monday's Bench with Bubba. It was his last two seasons have been two completely different approaches at the plate. So I don't know which one he is right now. Like if you dig in on him, it's this past season was way too cautious taking a ton of pitches. The first season was more aggressive and the power showcased behind it. So I don't know which guy we see. He's 24 years old, 25, I mean. So hopefully it's somewhere in the middle, which would be a darn good ball player.
Yeah, I think your point on the kind of the deeper league, the better here with Ramos is spot on, because this is pretty much plate appearance volume driven. It was 695 plate appearances for Elliot Ramos. So like, yeah, you're probably going to finish as a top 50 outfielder by virtue of just amassing 700 plate appearances. But on a per plate appearance basis, like if you would have said you'd get 700 plate appearances out of Ramos before the season, you would certainly expect more than 21 bombs or six bags. So yep. Disappointing, but also, yeah, out earned his draft slot because he played a ton and you need those guys. You need those guys.
Yep. Yep. So it was definitely a bummer, but in the end didn't crush you to what it felt like was going on as the season went on. Spencer Steer is the 51st off the board, finished 54th at the position. We talked about him at first base. Anything to add to Spencer Steer?
Nope.
All right, Tyler O'Neill also had the same ADP as Spencer Steer, but he finished 155th at the position. Again, another similar ADP. How'd it go for you, Bob? Tyler O'Neill hit 199. Second time in his career below 200, by the way. 9 homers, 4 steals in 54 games. We always talk about tons of injuries. It happened again.
Dude, this time it was a neck, a shoulder my impingement. Neck,
my back. No, sir.
Could be related.
Yeah.
Neck and shoulder. I don't know. And then a wrist. Like, I don't know. Just that freaking game of Operation. Just every body part hurts. That's Tyler O'Neill. And it hurts if you drafted him.
Yes, indeed. Jonathan India, we don't need to talk about him anymore. He is the ultimate Gene Segura this year. He actually might have won the award, if I remember correctly.
I think I'd rather vomit than talk about Jonathan India again.
But a similar ADP was Cedric Mullins at 216. 54th outfielder off the board, finished a nice 69th at the position. 216, 17 homers, 22 steals. So once again, Mullins showed you the power and the speed, which is what you love from Mullins. But the batting average dropped even more, and the playing time plummeted as well once he got traded and was a platoon bat.
Right, which that's always kind of been the rub with Cedric Mullins. Hasn't always been a strict platoon against lefties, but the production against lefties is certainly far below what we would expect. And I just think as you get older, and we've done research on this in the forecaster, as you get older, especially for a skill set like Cedric Mullins's, it's just going to be very hard for him to escape a strict platoon going forward. And we'll see. Is he on the Astros next season? Is he a free agent?
I don't know.
He's probably a free agent because.
Yeah, he's a free agent. 2026. Yeah, free agent.
Yeah. So I don't know. So
much. Yeah, platoon bat somewhere.
Yeah. You almost want Cedric Mullins to like sign with this will never happen. But I was going to say, the Pirates, but
yeah,
who are they going to ever sign?
I like the White Sox, actually.
I wouldn't mind the White Sox. Just you want Cedric Mullins on a bad team. You don't want Cedric Mullins on the Astros who are competing for the AL West. Didn't get it, I will add, because that is pretty much locking in a platoon.
Who won the AL West, Ryan? Yeah, that's what I thought. He's showcasing his sweatshirt, by the way. All right, so this is where we talk about guys at similar ADP. So at 210, you had Ramos, finished 36th. Okay. 212, you had Spencer Steer, finished 54th. Okay. Ton at 212, 155th. Indy at 213, 112. Mullins at 216, 69. So we're 6 picks apart here. Also at 216, Ryan, this is where you kind of want to slam your head against the wall if you did not do this. Like, this is league winning type stuff here. Byron Buxton was the 55th outfielder off the board. Finished 9th at the position. 9th. It's impressive. 264 average, 35 home runs, career high. 24 steals, only the second time he's had over 14. His second highest since 2017. Hit 264, which is awesome. And he did this in 126 games, so it's not like he played a full season.
I know. That's the... which is nuts. He didn't even like... And that's... Because I didn't have any Byron Buxton, but like that's the thing. It's like, oh, Byron Buxton finally played a full season and you got 35 homers, 24 bags. Yeah, dude still missed like a good month of the season.
Yeah.
And did this. I don't know, man. I obviously did not see this coming. It's interesting. I feel like if you drafted Tyler O'Neill, you were even more, because that means you were kind of just comparing these guys that are in this ADP pocket. All of them sucked except for Buxton. I feel like if you took Tyler O'Neill, you were willing to embrace some injury risk for production, and you chose O'Neill over Buxton. Whereas, like, if you took Mullins, you want some speed. India, other position, Spencer Steer, maybe at first base. Like, you maybe had different reasonings for taking some of those guys, but man, that further nails the grave for Tyler O'Neill. I don't know why I'm talking about Tyler O'Neill so much when I should be talking about Byron Buxton, but just hell of a season that I did not even remotely think was possible at this stage in his career.
And now he's to go way too high in drafts, way too high in drafts. So we'll see how this pans. Well, again, I gave him 120 games. Might not be that bad. So
the crazy thing is he just started running again, and not even running again, but dude was 24 for 24. He was not thrown out at all.
And he only DH'd 8 games. He was playing.
I know, but he played 118 in center field.
Yeah. It was like they weren't like babying him by DH. No, they let him. He played. He went out there and played baseball for the first time like in his whole career.
So, I mean, I'll throw this back to you. Like, you look at a Buxton breakout like this, and we're certainly doing like a player-centric review. But, like, do you change any process or thought on taking someone like Byron Buxton again next year, given what we saw from him?
I've kind of mentioned this either in Discord or somewhere else. If I'm looking for like the overall profile, I need to be way more open-minded to that situation, especially in 12s. Like I've talked about in 12s, I need to be more aggressive in fab. That also kind of correlates to being more aggressive and taking chances on these Buxtons in round, you know, pick 200. If it's a 12, you're almost in round 20. Like, why not take that chance in round 20?
These guys anyway.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things that in 12s, my brain's like still not taking that chance. So yes, I need to be more aggressive in that regard. Like, because I was taking a guy 11, 20 picks later that barely played all season. We'll talk about shortly. So,
You did.
Yeah. So it's just, I've told myself between the fab and then just aggressiveness on draft day, like maybe not with my first, you know, 10 picks, like let's get a base, but like those middle rounds, yes, they win you leagues, but that's how you win your league. Like Byron Buxton was a middle round pick and you need to take that chance, like swing for it. Cause you can replace it in 12. Now in a 15, I don't know if I'd still be willing to do that.
That spot's super tough. Valuable. And again, just by looking at taking the macro view here, looking at this board, Byron Buxton is all green. Pretty much every single player, 4 picks before and 4 picks after him, was pretty bad. So you kind of had like a 1 in 8, 1 in 9 chance of hitting big here. And yeah, got Buxton. Kudos. I won't be taking him again next year. It's probably that's a me problem than Buxton.
It is a you problem, but it's like I want to look at this real quick just because I remember seeing this at one point. Yeah, here we go. So the average auction values. Yeah, that's what it was. Buxton's average was $5 in an auction. He went as low as $1, as high as 11 across 96 auctions. So it's a big size, but like $5 on average for that kind of upside. Again, interesting to look back on. It's all hindsight because obviously, like while I have that open, Tyler O'Neill, he had a price of average of $8. So people were more interested in Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So just little things to think about as I go down rabbit holes on Byron Buxton. All right, the final five. Yeah, Jake McCarthy finished 173rd at the position. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. finished 51st before he tore his ACL. Garrett Mitchell didn't play baseball. That's who I was referring to, having a lot of shares. He was one of my most rostered players. He got hurt, never came back, finished 232nd at the position. Slick Willie Castro finished 109. And TJ Friedl, who we have questions on later, finished 44th. Anything you'd like to mention here as out of the last five, 56 through 60 at the outfield position?
Nah, just one final rub in on the Garrett Mitchell debacle of 2025. We were pretty polarized on that one, so glad I certainly didn't. We tied our beer bets for the season.
Like so. Two of them were Garrett Mitchell based, so you're welcome.
Yeah, two of mine were Michael Wyatt Harris. Langford based.
Yeah, Wyatt Langford. Yes.
So certainly you didn't. You know, I didn't crush you everywhere, but crush you with Garrett Mitchell. We'll talk about TJ Friedl with listener questions. There's some good discussion in the Discord on him. I don't have much on McCarthy. Gurriel, God.
He's having another decent season.
I know.
And then, yeah.
And then he's gone. I actually drafted Gurriel in the meatball, like the 48th round, just hoping he comes back in August or September. That's a damn good. That's a Lourdes. That's, I live for seasons like this. Lourdes Gurriel. Look at that, man. 57th drafted, finished 51st, just steady. It's the way to live. And then you tear your ACL. So,
yep. Not yep. the way to live. Unfortunate situation. All right, let's talk a few breakouts before we get to the listener questions, Ryan. So, as usual, I'll let you take the breakouts, and we'll start with a really good one.
Yeah. The conversation has to start with George Springer here. Finished third at the position with an ADP. Actually, I think he was like the next guy off this board. So I think it was like roughly 250 ADP, something like that. But that is a league winning type season for anyone who took George Springer. I had a ton of George Springer because why wouldn't I have a ton of George Springer? And I will admit, come on.
You didn't expect this.
No. I mean, dude, he improved his batting average by 90 points with the same strikeout
rate. Career high batting average at age 35. Okay.
Right. A barrel rate of 16%. The previous 3 years, it was 8, 8, and 9. Stole 18 bags and played a ton. Played 586. Like, yeah, I took a ton of Springer because he's an old injured guy, and that's the type of player I like for whatever reason. But like, man, that was a lucky pick for me.
Yeah, he must have been getting called to the principal's office after a lot of games. Had a little container locked in his locker.
meeting with Profar after each game.
Yeah, like, hey, bro, we're gonna need a sample again because we don't believe it. Like, something's hot. We need to figure it out. But
I don't see how you predict this or even learn anything from it. You just throw your hands and say. The game.
I'd love to know how many teams drafted Buxton and Springer. Like, good lord, because it's possible. It was very possible.
Burks apparently here took Buxton in the 20th in the chat here, in the 20th and the 50 that he won, and took Springer in the 21st.
So there you go.
Well probably done, contributed to that championship that win. Well done.
Yep. Well done. You got Mr. Páez finished 19th at the position. Andy Páez. And this was one that was shaky for a while. Ryan looked like he's gonna get sent to AAA. Then he got it turned around. Finished with a 272 average, 27 homers, 14 steals in 156 games. Seems like he's here to stay, which is great to see. Like, they trusted him to be their starting center fielder, which originally was not going to be the case. Edmund gets hurt. He walks in, then doesn't let it go.
Yep. And just lineup-wise, you get 624 plate appearances for the LA Dodgers. You end up with 74 runs, 86 RBI to go with the numbers you just mentioned, Bubba. So great year for Páez. I don't know. 27 homers on 38 barrels. Though I have read that.
LA's ballpark, dude.
Yes, LA's ballpark. That's something I need to read up on.
It's been proven for a few years. I remember Ian did something a few years back about it because of the there's no marine layer there where they're at. And so the heat kind of stays at night and helps the ball carry even more.
Yeah, it was, I think,
something along those lines.
All right. Well, I'll still read the article just in case you
think the smog. You think the smog would slow it down, but
so great year for Páez. I don't know about 27 bombs again, but or 14 still interested. Bags, but whatever. Yeah.
Soderstrom finished 21st in the position. We talked about him at first base. I wanted to take that because I want you to have the player that finished 27th because you've always been a big proponent of this ball player.
I don't have the sheet up. Who is it?
Ramon Laureano.
Oh, yeah, I love this guy. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's your guy. I was trying to do you a solid there.
Yeah, thank you. No, I should probably have the show sheet up.
That's why I printed it up. It's right next to me here. We're good.
How many papers are on your desk right now? Roughly. Okay, less than I thought. 60, 50?
Yeah, about 40.
Okay. I'm thinking hundreds. No, Ramon Laureano, and this was basically a waiver grab. I remember the Fab show when we first mentioned him. It was just the playing time was there for Baltimore, and then got traded to San Diego. I was like, I don't know. Is it still going to be there? And was is absolutely still there. Was actually one of the Padres' best hitters down the stretch. So, and similar to Springer, like, I don't know, maybe this is an invasion of the olds, and it's just, it's great to see, but I didn't see this level coming. Though in the baseball forecaster, we said upside 20 home runs, double-digit bags. Got the homers, almost got the bags. So great year for Laureano, and someone who you could have gotten fab for cheap. It's one of those, like, the playing time's there. He's hitting in the middle of the lineup, and he's hot. So you pick him up, and you just kind of ride for as long as you can. And for Laureano, like, that ride never really stopped. It just kept going.
Going to be a free agent this year, so I'll have to see where he lands to justify that one.
Yep.
All right, Sal Frelick finished 28th at the position, been a factor of a combination of the Garrett Mitchell injury and Yelich having to primarily DH, because Frelick played 134 of his 142 games in right field, finished with 12 homers, 19 steals, and 288. So really strong season. I'm still like kind of torn on the Sal Frelick upside to things, but
yeah,
really, really good season from him.
Another one for whatever reason, I don't know why, but Sal Frelick stopped running in the second half, only had four steals in the second half. And again, not really sure the explanation there. I don't think there's any kind of, at least that I saw looking through kind of the RotoWire logs. Well, never mind. There was a hamstring in July. So
there you go.
That probably explains why he did not run much in the second half. So it could be a double-edged sword, you know, injury now, you have that track record. But maybe an off season of rest heals that. But yeah, overall, good year for Sal Frelick. I don't know what to think for next year. I think he lucked into some playing time, and I don't know if this is a elite batting average guy. We'll see.
All right. Joe Adell finished 29th at the position. It finally happened. Age 26 season, still so young. He hit 236. You'd like to see more of that, but 26.4% K rate, not great, but an improvement on last season. 37 home runs, 98 RBI. So he almost joined the 100 RBI club with Taylor Ward. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
And had five stolen bases. Like, I've been a big Joe Adell proponent around these parts, and it was good to see it finally happen. He was free last year, which was made it even more appetizing to take a chance on in drafts, and it paid off in a big, big way.
It's interesting. I would have thought for all the the fanfare that came with this Joe Adell breakout, like, he still just finished 29th. Like, I don't know.
I think it's more so like everyone's wanted him to be good for so
long. I know. Then like he finally was. And finally, so
everyone, 36 homers, almost 100 RBI.
Right. Yes. And so, like, I mean, the flip side of that is he hit 236 with five steals.
Yeah, he didn't steal any bases. Like, you're hoping for the 15 steals from 2024. That would have been a real clutch.
Right. So the running game was not there. Only scored 63 runs. So this was really kind of a two-category guy. And so kind of looking at that, it's like, certainly a great season. Like, that, I don't want to throw shade there, but it's interesting, like, looking at the actual number that Adell finished at, and still good, but not what I thought given the mass celebrations of Joe Adell's breakout.
And then Trent Grisham finished 30th at the outfield position, which we talked about him a ton on some recent shows. If you have anything else on Trent Grisham, it's all, the floor is yours.
No, I think we gave him a bub in the bloomy for most random breakout.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I don't see how you could have ever thought that was coming.
All right, final thoughts before we hit listener questions between this board, first board, outfield in general.
No, I guess so, yes. the biggest thing, and it just goes back to what we say all the time, just looking at some of these picks that are next to each other and how much difference there can be from ADP. The Byron Buxton example is a perfect example. The PCA versus Josh Lowe example, like, I don't know. Pick, get your guys. Don't worry too much about ADP because the market doesn't know how any of these guys are going to finish up, and you'll get entire bunches of players who finish all over the board. And that outfield part two, where we saw a ton of that.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's get to some of the Discord questions here. As I pull it up, because I'm always ready for that. We'll start with BP says, just realized how mediocre Friedel was. Is that all he's got? Okay, so that's why we kind of skipped over him. Friedel was the 60th outfielder off the board, ADP of 240, Ryan. He finished 44th at the position, which is honestly pretty good if we're talking about things. 261, 14, and 12. So that's kind of, is that the all he got question, which I agree. Yeah. Not an earth-shattering success there. And he played 152 games, which is something else you got to think about. He had 82 runs, 53 RBI. So, yeah, it's a very, very blah stat line. But I guess in a 15, it plays. In a 12, that would just be horrific.
Yeah, it's just it's really interesting. This was kind of like similar along the lines of Elliot Ramos. Very much volume-driven. You had 685 plate appearances from TJ Friedl. And before that, it was 341, 54, 258. So this was a volume spike. You certainly, it's that double-edged sword of like, yeah, he earned the value, but he played so much. You would have thought he gets more than 14 homers, 12 steals, and 685. So it's kind of odd for a player to have a good season compared to where he was drafted, but you're still disappointed. And certainly in 12s, yeah, I don't know how much this works.
Yep, very, very tricky indeed. Mailman Mike says, same for Josh Lowe. Is that all he's got? Yeah, if he doesn't stay healthy, that is all he's got.
Yeah, the ceiling for Josh Lowe is much, much higher. He's got to stay healthy. I mean, it all comes down to that. And, I mean, Josh Lowe could steal 40 bags. I would not be surprised if he has a year where he spikes 40, but gotta get that oblique taken care of, man.
Yeah, Ben Ted says a lot of hitters are really bad last year. That is correct.
That is true. And, you know, how many did you have on your team that was bad? That often dictated how you did.
Exactly. Steve Stoughton says pick two players from outfield ADP 46 through 60 that you're expecting to bounce back next season. So who stands out to you as a bounce back candidate, Ryan?
I will say I'll cheat a little because I guess he did. Jurickson Profar over a full season is going to be much more than the 84th outfielder, but that's more just a playing time thing. I think if the playing time's there, I think Spencer Steer is a decent rebound just because I think
took him in my 50.
You what?
Took him in my 50.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
I took him in the meatball, so we both have some Spencer Steer already.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'd go Steer.
Yeah, Profar is the one on the tee. I'm going to go Colton Cowser. I still like that profile a lot. Okay. I think there's a ton to like there in that power and this fact he throws in the speed. Like it's like the Arozarena profile with more power almost. Like I'm very, very intrigued with Colton Cowser and that one. Like, it kind of like you can see where it's kind of headed.
Low batting average, good power speed. Yeah. The batting average floor, I think, for Cowser is potentially really bad. But
yes, agreed. Like could be Adam Dunn-esque if all things don't work out. Yeah, he had to go there. Kevin A says, "Does all this red drive top shortstops and outfielder further up the draft board?"
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think so. Especially, I mean, once we're getting this late in the draft, you kind of, I don't know, for me, like the position strategy kind of goes out. I'd focus more on which positions were most stable at the top, as opposed to kind of this 31 through 60 group, which is lower. You just know by virtue of drafting players around 200 ADP, you've got to be okay with a lot, bunch of them are going to fail, and you've got to either cut and move on or look at other options. So wouldn't affect my strategy too much. And again, every year can change. So this could look totally different, probably will look totally different next year. But yeah, that's kind of how I handle that.
Yeah. It probably doesn't make it crazy, but it still makes me want to try and get an elite shortstop and two really good outfielders. Like it still makes me want to put that as a priority when I draft, because in it, at least, I don't know, makes the rest of the five outfielder set go a little different. Scott Slezak might know a thing or two about playing fantasy baseball. He mentions, "I don't like having a platoon bat as one of my top five outfielders. Am I being too picky?" No, that's the perfect idea. It's just, it's hard to get that fifth one to not be a platoon bat.
It's the fifth one. It's the fifth one that makes it very difficult. There were a ton of platoon bats starting with Kerry Carpenter. You had Mullins, you had Jake McCarthy, you had kind of reverse Willie Castro. So this was when we talked about entering 2025, we called it Platoonville. It was hard in a lot of my drafts to have my fifth outfielder be somebody who played every day. That's why I love Lourdes Gurriel so much.
Yep, I get it. Petro Ziello says it's tough in a 15 to do that. Slezak commented back in the chat, In a 15, yeah, I might go platoon bat at outfield 5, outfield 6, but also try to get a second base outfield or a third base outfield for more options. That is why I drafted Noelvi Marte in my 50. I love that third base outfield and talked about it on the third base show. I'm a big believer in a healthy Noelvi Marte this season.
Also why I love our Discord. We have two folks who finished in the top 10 of the overall main event last year, kind of discussing these things that we can
do. In October.
Exactly. In October. Exactly.
Pretty soon. Yeah. Really good stuff indeed. But that'll do it, my friend. Outfield in the books. Hitters in the books. We'll be back Thursday talking top 30 starting pitchers, making our way to the mound on this one. No baseball that night. Hopefully the Jays are up 3-2, but time will tell on that. Anything else you'd like to speak of? The Halloween Eve when we're recording.
Yeah, it'll be
no Halloween. Costumes on the show. No costumes on the show.
Yeah, no, sorry, folks. No banana suit on the show. Actually, no the banana Olaf. Suit would not even fit in the screen here. It's a pretty, yeah. My kids also want to put, not only did they want to laugh at me, they said today they, because I make them, we make them little smoothies in the morning with bananas in them. They want to put me in the blender.
That's amazing.
Make your a smoothie kids, out of me.
Your kids and I would get along great.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Something tells me Papa Blue must go around there and talk to them.
Yeah, he's doing his thing with them for sure.
Yes, no doubt about it. But that'll do it, folks. Again, hope you guys enjoyed the positional reviews with the hitting department. We'll be back with you guys with pitching. But until next time, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm on Twitter at BDIntric. This was Bubba the Bloom episode 289. Catch y'all next time.